Hi.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything is fine. Hey, everybody. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Relax. Everything is just fine.
We're live for the 215. I am your host, Kyle Pagan. As always, joined by my man, Mark Henry. It is a lovely Tuesday, December 28th. Yes, Tuesday. I know we typically release Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but we wanted to see how the Saints-Dolphins game played out, and what a game it was. Before we get into today's episode, Mark, favorite gift from Santa?
I'm a Tarantino guy. I'll say the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood book. I'm like 100 pages in already.
All right. My favorite gift from Santa, 330 racks from Tap Room. Because mine wasn't even under the tree. I got to split 330 racks with Miller Lite with my family and my friends on December 24th. And guess how I got $50 off, Mark?
Tap Room.
Using promo code FINE50, PHINE50, and anyone who lives in Philly can save $50 on beer delivery of $100 or more at pa.taproom.com. Hard seltzers, hard beers, hard ciders, and more. So use the promo code FINE50. It's $50 off your delivery. You order before 4 p.m. Get the beer delivered on the same day. Great for New Year's Eve pregames. Got anything going for New Year's Eve, Mark?
I'm getting the booster the day before, so I don't know if I'm going to be out of commission. We're playing it by year. We're controlling the things we can't control, football speak, other words of that nature.
The Kron is running wild right now. So really, if you haven't gotten the Kron, who are you?
We might be mid-Kron, on this episode.
Yeah, we could always be mid-Kron. Who knows? But great for New Year's Eve pregames, Eagles, Sixers, tailgates, or just this week, because let's face it, nobody works the week between Christmas and New Year's. So go get drunk instead. I'm sure your employer would love that. Promo code FINE50 at pa.taproom.com. All right, Mark Henry. It started ugly. But let's be real. It was never really in doubt. This team was never going to lose to Jake Fromm, who had -4 passing yards, 5 drives into the game, while Joe Judge also was punting from his 46 on 4th and 4. But I do need to admit something, Mark. I had impure thoughts about Jalen Hurts and his fight for the franchise QB throne. I thought there was a realistic chance he was going to be benched for the second time at halftime against Jake Fromm for the second time in his career. But if you want to be critical about the first half, then you have to give them their due when they make second half adjustments and score 31 points. For people forget that one of the side effects of COVID is brain fog, which can affect neurological functions and probably played a role in Nick Sirianni's shitty play calling and decision making in the first half. And now the Eagles have a realistic chance of clinching a playoff berth at week 17. And the only people who I think who should be able to bitch at this game are the people who had the under. Because nobody deserves to lose an under when it was 3-3 heading into the halftime and the live line was sitting at 25. That was maybe, if you're a gambling person, maybe you just give up that hobby. Get a hobby where you can control more. So, sorry if I'm twisting
the I have a perfect, antidote to that exact scenario happening. Stop betting unders. It's how it works. But if you're going to bet an under, bet a first half under, because then you can't get this bullshit at the end of the game where people are, pick six. And it's insane to me that people bet full game NFL and NBA unders. I'll never wrap my head around it.
Why does it make no sense? You're the gambling guy.
Because I think that there's just so many ways. I guess I'm at the point now where when I hear about an under being a bad beat, in my head I'm like, well, if the under hit in the first half, I don't want to hear about it. Mm. If the first half under hit and the full game under didn't and it's a bad beat, I don't want to hear about it because you should have bet the first half under because, like I just said, being a dick earlier, you control the controllables. When I'm gambling, I like to control the controllables. I can't control Alex Singleton getting a pick six at the end of the game because the Giants aren't caring at all out there on offense. And they have Mike Glennon trying to get the 2013 passing record. But you know, what was the score at halftime?
3-3.
I think the first half under hit.
I think it did too. I would agree with that. And my first thought, you know, watching Jalen Hurts is this will probably be my first and last my guy ever. I think this might be the kiss of death because after I sat here and I defended his honor for 37 minutes against John Jansen, and then he comes out and he lays an egg in front of John Jansen, no less. I think I'm done with my guys.
So do you think the section that John Jansen was in was a little confused at seeing a guy in like Eagle colors cheering completions and cheer like a fumble that got picked up and a pick that obviously got hauled off? You think the section was a little weirded out?
The only guy who didn't boo the Eagles going into halftime. Yeah. Just punching the air. Just like, yes, this is my magnum opus. This is my Da Vinci. This is my Mona Lisa. He's just the happiest guy in the world. I mean, after the play where Jalen Hurts missed Dallas Goedert wide open in the end zone, I was ready to renounce him. I told you I had some unpure thoughts about Jalen Hurts. And the good thing is Jalen Hurts was asked about it after the game, and he explained everything about pre-snap reads and brackets. And the good thing is I didn't understand any of it. So now I think since he answered it so well, I'm back into him being maybe the franchise again. So Mark Henry, where would you like to start? Eagles may be clinching in week 17, the double scoring review, how booing can be positive towards the success of your franchise. Where do you want to start?
Well, I guess we have more to talk about than I guess I had in my head, but yeah, it was a tough half for Jalen. It was one of those halves where it's like, man, do the Giants just own Jalen Hurts? Like, can Jalen Hurts just not play against the Giants? And I do think that the Giants defense is underrated. I think that people are going to treat that game yesterday and what he was able to do in the third quarter and the struggles in the first quarter as kind of pathetic because it's the Giants. But when you're saying it's the Giants in a negative term, that should really just only really count towards the offense and Joe Judge, because Patrick Graham's doing a pretty good job with that defense, and I think he had a good game plan against Jalen Hurts. So the things that would concern me with Jalen, I said before, he's going to have down games and he's going to have games where it doesn't look hit. A running quarterback's bad games are always going to be uglier than these pocket passing quarterbacks' bad games, because when you take away their ability to run, when you take away their ability to do what they're best at, it kind of simplifies them. And if things aren't happening, people are dropping. I think we had like 6 drops in the first half. If we have these types of issues, then we've seen, and I said this before too, but we've seen Lamar Jackson have these ugly, ugly games like he did against Miami on Monday night, or we've seen him have ugly games like he did in the playoffs a few years ago against the Chargers, or in the playoffs last year against, I believe, the Bills. He's had some tough games, Lamar. And Lamar is the pinnacle right now of what a running quarterback is and what we hope Jalen Hurts can be. So if he has those ugly starts, then Jalen Hurts is going to have those ugly starts too. So I can excuse some of that. I can excuse some of that ugliness. But the things I can't excuse, and I've said this time and time again, the reason I've been in on Hurts, especially to start this year, was the fact that he was taking care of the ball and the fact that he wasn't turning the ball over. Now, did he end up with any turnovers in this game? No. But he threw a pick that probably would have been a pick if there was. What ended up negating that? I completely forget somehow.
The nose of the ball hit the ground.
Yeah. It wasn't a pick, yeah. And then he fumbles it, I think, like a couple plays later.
It was a drive or two later,
and we recover it. So we got lucky on those two turnovers. But that's going to be the thing that concerns you. And I don't want to ever see a game where Jalen Hurts has 2 rushes for 7 yards again. I don't know if that's game plan. I don't know if that's being hobbled. I don't know if that's just something that the Giants defense took away. So that's interesting. Anytime you see Jalen Hurts under 30 yards, that's a problem rushing.
I didn't even look at the rushing stats, honestly. I didn't even see that he only had 2 rushes for 7 yards. I think his ankle isn't 100%. I'll play a little devil's advocate here. You got to love the team. They don't quit. They don't never say die. No. They regroup in the second half. They're a big second half team. They're always in it. Credit to Nick Sirianni. Credit to the staff. But and credit to the players. You know, they always stay in it.
What about credit to future, apparently, head coach Jonathan Gannon? Did you see that?
Yeah, future head coach Jonathan Gannon. The devil works hard, but Jonathan Gannon's agent floating head coaching interviews out there works harder.
Yeah, I forget if that was Schefter or Rappaport.
It was Pete Schrager.
Yeah, you're right. That was wild. I couldn't believe that.
So, but Mark, there's going to be an owner who's going to look at NFL.com and he's going to look at the Eagles defense ranking. And then he's going to think to himself, that's a big reason why the Eagles were a playoff team, because in no world is this defense a top 10 defense, but it's ranked like a top 10 defense. And they're gonna be like, well, this Jonathan Gannon fella. And he also was getting like those, like a lot of the beat reporters, like future head coach, Jonathan Gannon, future head coach, Jonathan Gannon preseason. So I was like, all right, this Jonathan Gannon guy must be awesome. But when you play Trevor Siemian, when you play Jake Fromm, Jared Goff, Garrett Gilbert, Zach Wilson, Teddy Bridgewater, this defense has no choice but to be good. If you want to, if you want a coach who's going to get slanted to death and refuse to blitz, you've got your guy.
Did you know, again, my brain is like so jumbled up. Maybe it's the cron. Maybe I've got COVID brain.
Could be my brain.
I just lost it.
See, that's a symptom of fog brain. I'm telling you, man, Cron is running wild.
Oh, yeah, I got it. The PA announcer at the Eagles game. Are you aware that no matter what Darius Slay does, he could give up like a 40-yard catch and tackle it, the announcer goes, and that's a lockdown play by Big Play Slay.
Like no matter what?
No matter what. He gave up a 40-yard – remember the Garrett Gilbert – to Terry McLaurin throw, I think it was 30, 40 yards. He tackled him. He was covering the guy who got the ball, and they played that sound at the Eagles game 2 games ago. But I was infuriated.
You might want to put that one, maybe hide that one away for a pick, or when he doesn't, you know, lose the ball in the sunlight. He's playing out of his mind. I mean, he is playing very well this year. I think he's only giving up like 30 some.
Well. The one thing I do want to say before you give the kind stat to Slay is that the defense is literally designed for him to not give up anything longer than 5 yards. Like, the defense is designed for him to play off the guys and makes your job a lot easier when you're Darius Slay or a corner. I mean, you know, maybe that's something you could say, give Gannon credit, but I don't know if that would work.
I'm sure.
Good quarterbacks,
and I'm not a scheme boy. And I'll never understand. Like I told you, like when Jalen said that thing about, you know, his pre-snap reads and Goddard was never really an option. It's like, sure, yeah, okay, I'll go with that. And Nick Sirianni backed him up, but it made me smarter. It made me feel smarter. It made me feel better about Jalen. I think it does. I think they should give more answers like that, because I think it'll make the fan base like smarter in a way. Like, hey, listen, like I know it looks bad on the broadcast, but you know. It was never a read. Speaking of the broadcast, can we stop? Like, we're a playoff team. Can we stop getting Jonathan Vilma and Kenny? I like Kenny. I have no problem with Kenny. Also,
anti-Kenny.
Why are you anti-Kenny?
He's an idiot. He says the wrong name 3 times a game. About it'll be the quarterback dropping back to pass on offense for the Eagles to get Fromm back to pass, or Sanders runs up the middle, Barkley up the middle for 5. He does it like 3 times a game, and it bothers me.
He's got a lot on his mind. He's trying to keep Jonathan Vilma at bay. Jonathan Vilma is the worst.
Yeah,
he's the worst player turned commentator. The Fox broadcast in the first half, there was at least 10 different marker graphics that had the wrong down and the wrong yards to go. It was like a 4th and 4. It was big time. And it was like 1st and 5 they had on the graphic and stuff. I noticed it like 6 or 7 different times. It was a wild broadcast. Can we stop getting that broadcast team? Can we stop getting the people in the truck there? We're a playoff team now. We need to be taken seriously. Give us Schlereth and Amin. Can we get maybe a Greg Olsen? Can you put an RG3 or a Mark Sanchez, slide them one in there? Like,
oh, I would die for a Kevin Burkhardt, Greg Olsen game. We were getting them at the beginning of the year, and it felt like, oh, maybe this is a C team. I'll tell you what, Kevin Burkhardt, A+. That guy's the play-by-play commentator of the year. How about that for an award and a take here?
I got an award. Why is there no coach of the year, rookie year, rookie coach of the year award? Whew, that was a tongue twister. Why is there no rookie coach of the year award?
I have a hot take.
Okay, go ahead.
It wouldn't be Sirianni.
Okay, let's go. I like this. I like discussion.
The fact that the Atlanta Falcons are 7-8. Okay. I don't care if it's like BS and they're 33rd in DVOA out of 32 teams. It's like every metric thinks the Falcons are like one of the worst teams of all time. They're 7-8. Arthur Smith is doing something right to get this bad team to win games. I think the Falcons are way worse than we are, and they're only a game behind us. So I think Arthur Smith should get it.
I have Arthur Smith fifth in my power rankings.
That's absurd. It's absurd.
I have David Culley 4-12. They went 4-12 with Deshaun Watson. Okay,
that's fair. That's fair.
Okay, I'm a David Culley stan.
He's getting fired too. Probably.
He's like probably going to get fired. Yeah.
They hired him to fire him.
They did. He was a stopgap. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
I have Dan Campbell 4. Guys play hard for him.
Like, you shit on Dan Campbell all year, and you got mad at that media types like us giving him respect, and now you're respecting MCDC.
That Cardinals win impressed me. If they lose again, I'll knock Dan Campbell down my power ranks, and I'll put Arthur Smith. But you're right about Arthur Smith. So my power rankings are Sirianni, Brandon Staley, David Culley, Dan Campbell, Arthur Smith, Bob Sala, and Urban Meyer, number 7.
Are you just one of these losers that doesn't understand the Urban Meyer culture? You're just a loser.
It's true. I'm a pussy.
You're an anti-football pussy slash loser who has to prove his credibility and qualifications.
The culture wasn't right. He needs guys that he can hold scholarships over his head and injuries over his head. And he needs those kind of guys. He needs those guys that will never say die kind of attitude. You can't have guys who are prima donnas making millions and millions of dollars, number one overall quarterbacks. He's never had a number one overall recruit, so I guess he can't have a number one overall quarterback.
Is that true? He's never had a number one recruit?
I don't know.
But the domestic, he needs a little domestic violence in the air, maybe some murder. Like, I think he needs a little bit of that.
With a tinge of racist strength, coach.
Yeah, no, for sure. The fact that you just put a bunch of losers around him. That's not his fault. He didn't hire those guys.
Had a better coaching staff at Bowling Green.
Utah.
You want to hear this crazy stat? I'm saying on this Nick Sirianni coach of the year, not coach of the year. I don't think he's the coach of the year. No way do I think he's the coach of the year. But the rookie coach of the year in NFL history, 294 teams. This is coming from Rube. Have been 2-5. 16 of them have finished with a winning record. 9 of them have made the playoffs. You want to go a little further? This one's from John Clark. Over the last 9 weeks in the NFL, the Eagles 6 wins. Only the Chiefs have more. 29.9 points per game. That's second behind the Colts. 16.6 points allowed per game. That's number one in the NFC. That's some Jonathan Gannon, John Clark carrying the water for Jonathan Gannon. You think Jonathan Gannon's agent just floated out that stat? Hey, make sure you tweet this out to your 110,000 followers. All right. Thanks, buddy. And he's also got the QBs meeting in different meeting rooms.
No, he's a genius.
He's out thinking the competition.
I feel like, and this kind of goes back to your point on Jalen Hurts. Nick Sirianni, his press conferences are like so refreshing. He's giving actual answers. He's giving real reasons for why he didn't do things, or you know, why something was missed and why a play didn't happen, or why a touch. Like, he gives legitimate answers. He doesn't really I guess he's not throwing anyone under the bus. But he like calls himself out like he has when he's been too passive, and he's I just think what he actually gives voice to the things that happen in the game instead of I got to do a better job, I got to get better, I got to do a better job. Just Andy, I'm sorry, this is just anti Andy Reid slander here, but it really like when Chip Kelly was here, he didn't say shit to the media.
Doug was always I got to watch the film.
Yeah, Doug was a little more refreshing than Andy and Chip, just because he's a nice guy. Like, Doug was a nice guy, so he was at least like nice to the media, and he would engage with them a little bit. By the third year with Doug, he fucking hated the media and was completely done with having to deal with those press conferences and done with dealing with the who had the Jeff McClain finger gloves?
Yeah, the finger gloves. Yep, Hi Roseman and Jeff McClain's finger glove conversation.
What do you think Doug's thoughts on the finger gloves were?
He was like, he said they were weird. Yeah, he's he's an old school guy. He doesn't understand fashion. Not like Jeff McClain coming out of FDR Park after hanging out with his homeless buddies around a trash can fire.
But I think Doug didn't give us much. Doug didn't give you as much as Sirianni gives you. He's giving you play calls. He's Texas, and he's talking about Lane Smith in the Pro Bowl and how he got snubbed. And he's just a very open guy. And it's like, I am excited after games when I get the notification from, I think I subscribed to the Eagles on YouTube or something, whatever it is. When I get the notification that Sirianni's press conference went live, I'm like, let's go. Like, I'm ready to watch this. And I've never been like that with press conferences in any sport. And I feel like that you kind of are, because you're a big beat guy. You're on the beat. You like following what the guys on the beat are doing more than I do. So I like, maybe that's weird that I haven't been checking press conferences after games for the last decade, but this is really like the first year I'm like searching out the press conference so I can go watch it and learn about the game.
Last year was the first time I did it because it was just chaos. It was just so much fun. So much fun chaos. This year I've been a little, I've been slacking a little bit. Yeah, I've been slacking a little bit, but yeah, I'll go back and watch a couple. I'll pick and choose, you know, I'll watch my Lotta. I maybe hold off from like, I don't know, Sanders. Devontae Smith is never really that interesting. They always get a special teams guy in there, which I don't understand why.
I only watched Sirianni. I didn't even watch Jalen. But to your point, Jalen was very refreshing in his as well. Like, he gave that answer, and I think that that kind of stuff makes our fan base smarter, like you said. And, yeah,
it's absolutely important. It's important those questions get answered. Is Nick Sirianni the best coach in the NFC East?
Yes. So,
I agree. Do you know Ron Rivera has 7 losing seasons in 10 years?
He's not that good. Riverboat Ron punted from like the 38 against us. Like, I've never gotten the Ron Rivera thing. I think he held back some of those Carolina teams. So, yeah, I don't get the Ron Rivera thing. And Joe Judge is a complete
I have idiot. Joe Judge. He's Joe Judge. That's in my notes. He's Joe Judge. Mike McCarthy, he's 11-4. Don't get me wrong. They're top 10 in a bunch of offensive categories. But I kind of would give it to like Kellen Moore. Who actually calls the plays. I look at Mike McCarthy as like a CEO of like a Fortune 500 company where he just surrounds himself with like very smart executives, people in the marketing, people in the advertising, people in the product development, people with like groundbreaking ideas. He's like a motivational like babysitter, right? I want to say just smashing watermelons with hammers like he's Gallagher.
If you're an Eagles fan, you almost want Kellen. You almost want the Cowboys to have some success in the playoffs so Kellen Moore can get hired away.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what this team is without Kellen Moore. I don't know if Mike McCarthy's actually doing anything. COVID hiccups going on the pod here. But
is this Dan Quinn's team if Kellen Moore leaves?
Yeah, I guess Dan Quinn's doing a great job. I feel like that hasn't really been talked about, I guess. And it's just went to how good Parsons is and how good Diggs are. Also, another hot take. Trayvon Diggs is better than Micah Parsons.
Trayvon Diggs also gives up a lot of yards.
Yeah, that's true. I just think that the turnovers are such a huge deal. Like, I think he's completely changing some of these games.
Are 12 sacks more important than 12 interceptions?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because the ball switches hands. It's also funny because it's like, I guess Trayvon Diggs is just very good because that ball that Taylor Heinicke threw, it was like Trayvon Diggs was the wide receiver and he was like leading him. Like, he threw it perfectly into the breadbasket, like over-the-shoulder catch. It was very impressive by Trayvon Diggs, who I think was the wide receiver at one point, and Saban switched him to a cornerback, and he, like, hated it.
That's funny.
But, yeah, I mean, I would say you could make a bold case for Nick Sirianni being the best coach in the NFC East and the Coaching Rookie of the Year award. Did you know that Brandon Staley, defensive genius Brandon Staley, who's, like, last in, like, every major – category in terms of defense, especially giving up the most points. I know the NFC West is way harder. I know Staley did win the head-to-head matchup. But Nick Sirianni's plus 80 in point differential, and we got Brandon Staley, defensive genius, sitting at -3. -3.
They're -3. Wow. That is shocking. Yeah, Brandon Staley is a fraud. Brandon Staley, the reason people like Brandon Staley is because he says the smart analytic things that people like me eat up and love. But the analytic things didn't really work for him against Kansas City. That cost them a game, and that's a huge game right now.
Just lost to the Texans.
The Texans, that's a game. I'm not putting that on Staley. That was the game that maybe you people out there that want to tell me Justin Herbert is Patrick Mahomes and, you know, on the same level as Patrick Mahomes or on the same level as other quarterbacks out there, even a Josh Allen. Go watch that Herbert game against the Houston Texans again. Go watch those picks again. That's what I saw in his senior year at Oregon that scared me so much. And I'm not saying I was right. I was so wrong. It's unreal. He's a great quarterback. But for the people who were ready to anoint him as the best young quarterback in the world last year, let alone after this year, go watch that Texans film again. He was terrible in that game yesterday against the Texans. And I know he didn't have Mike Williams. I know he didn't have Eckler. I don't know if it's completely fair to shit on a guy when he's missing two of his three best players, but yeah, he was really bad in that game. But regardless, Brandon Staley sticking in this conversation. Brandon Staley's only getting this credit, like I said, for the analytic people, but he's also getting this credit because he is following the worst head coach I've ever seen. Anthony Lynn is the worst game manager in the history of football as a head coach. So Brandon Staley, is he great at it? No. Is he Anthony Lynn at it, though? No. So he's going to get this credit, and he's probably given them an extra win or two that they wouldn't have gotten without Lynn. I don't think he's a special coach whatsoever.
What do you think about people getting really bent out of shape with the Eagles fans booing Rager during introductions, and then Rager went reverse on a punt and dropped a pass, and the booing once again became justified?
I think it's the most white knight bullshit thing you can do as a fan, to be like, guys, they're trying their hardest. Stop booing. Stop booing. You're part of the problem. Like, I really, really can't understand anyone who doesn't want to boo Jalen Rager. I would boo Jalen Rager walk into the laundromat. Like, I would boo – not that I don't think he's – I think he's probably fine for money. I don't think he's going to the laundromat. He's
probably got a washer-dryer
situation.
Yeah. Maybe you have to go down to the basement, but I would probably say he probably has one in unit.
Yeah, it'd be bizarre if Jalen Rager was going to a laundromat in 2021.
That would be
bizarre. So, bizarre choice by me. I would love to boo Jalen Rager in any walk of life. He has not only been an incredible bust, to the player after him, who everyone wanted at the time, has turned into probably the best player at his position in the sport. And then you have the fact that every time there's been an ounce of adversity for Jalen Rager, he has handled it like a petulant child. So there's also that fact. And then there's also the fact that he repeatedly gets put in these positions to disappoint us and to get booed. So, and I know he had that big punt return. So maybe this is kind of stupid.
Did you go back and have you seen the highlights of that? There was like three guys to the right. There was nobody to the left. All he had to do was do one juke move and go. And he ended up going towards the three guys in the right and getting tackled at like the 39. And we ended up not even, I don't even think we got points from that.
I thought we got a field goal.
Jake Elliott missed that field goal, or was that second half where?
I can't remember, but you're totally right. You're totally right that he didn't even take the best path he could have, but you know, he made a play, and that's in the NFL, punt returning. It's hard to even do what he did, but I will say that I think that they're booing the decision maker that is Howie Roseman and the decision makers that are putting him in those positions to be targeted as much as Devontae Smith and to get punts. So I think if anything, it's less of a personal affront to Jalen Rager, who makes millions to play in front of us. I don't think it's a personal issue. I don't think it's a morality issue. I just think if anything, it's more so booing the structure of the Eagles and booing who drafted him and booing the guys for continuing to send him out there.
I think there's no dumber argument than people telling other people what noises they can and can't make coming out of their mouth. This isn't North Korea. Booing is probably the most effective thing a fan can do without causing physical harm. And it gets the message across quickly and effectively, and it's up to the team or the individual who are getting booed to decide how they'll respond. And haven't we already proved booing and bullying works when the Eagles decided to run the ball the majority of the time?
Yeah, I think booing almost always works. It's like, and it's also something else that people have been saying. I was sitting in front of Washington fans at the game. They're like, they'll just boo you. They'll turn on you in a minute. They'll turn on you in a second. And it's like, no, that's not true. It's like, they're not going to boo Joel Embiid because he goes 0-7. That's not how it works. It's just not how we operate. Perfect example. Game 5 against the Atlanta Hawks. No one wants to talk about it, but I'll talk about it because it ruined my life. I'm sitting there. We're up 26. The lead is shrinking. And I remember, funny enough, my girlfriend was like, "Are you nervous? Like they're giving up the lead." And I was like, "Shut up! They're up 15. Like there's 15 minutes left. We're gonna be fine." That's like the one time I should have been pessimistic that I wasn't. But no one was booing. They go up 8. No one's booing. No one started booing in game 5 against the Hawks in one of the worst losses I've ever seen in Philadelphia sports. No one started booing until we were losing. No one started booing until we were down 5. Philadelphia fans have a pretty good idea of when to boo. Mm-hmm. I don't often hear a boo from Philadelphia fans, and I'm like, oh, come on, guys. That's not really warranted. It seems like every time it's like, oh, should we be booing? It's, oh, should we be booing Jalen Reagor? Or, oh, should we be booing Ben Simmons for passing the ball under the basket? The whole Danny Green controversy when he was talking about that. Or, oh, should we be booing Sean Rodriguez for coming out and basically spitting in our faces and saying we're a bad fan base and like all that stuff? I think every time this becomes an issue, it's dumber than the previous time.
They also cheered Jalen Reagor when he came back out the next time he came back out for a punt, and then he dropped the ball the next drive, so he got booed. But yeah, I mean, if Jalen Reagor takes that to the house, like, the cheers are louder than anything. We're not booing people for scoring touchdowns. We're booing effectively in the right moment, I think. I think we might be the best booing fan base on when to know to boo and when not to boo.
100%. And I get accused of, and I've said this before from my friends who are Eagles fans, because I didn't like Miles Sanders in the draft, because I don't like Darius Slay, because there's another name I'm forgetting. It's slipping through my brain. Oh, Jalen Reagor, because I don't like Jalen Reagor, that they think I'm rooting against these guys. They think I'm like hoping these guys don't make big plays. That's not how I work, and I really don't think that that's how Philadelphia fans work either. I don't think people are hoping Jalen Reagor fucks up so they can boo him. I just don't think that's how they work in their head. I think that they're booing him because he fucks up.
I really want Jalen Reagor to get a touchdown. I was 2 weeks ago, I was fighting for Jalen Reagor to get a touchdown. I mean, he had a really good game.
He did.
And I would have loved to see him score off of that punt return. And I would love to see him score after they went right back to him, after he dropped that ball and they threw a screen to him, and they have Devontae Smith blocking for him, which seems to be a little ass backwards. But, you know, it is what it is. We don't call the plays. We won 34-10. I can't really complain about that.
Devontae Smith also got a holding this game.
Yeah, another pick play for Devontae Smith. If there's one gripe you can have about Devontae Smith, we're going to have to work on those pick plays in the offseason. But he is so fucking good. The double scoring review, I've never seen that in my life. Devontae Smith is so good that they had to do a double scoring review. I'm pretty sure that was illegal.
I've never seen it before. That was insane. I couldn't believe, and I feel like some people that are talking about it now on podcast or TV, it's like, oh, they went to commercial and then they came back and reviewed it. It's like, no, this wasn't just like a, you know, we needed more time, we're going to go to commercial and then review it. It was reviewed. They announced an official ruling, and then they announced another ruling after the commercial.
So he's 91 yards away from DeSean Jackson's rookie receiving record. If he gets it in 17 games, do we count as a franchise record with the additional game? Or are we going to start doing asterisks?
Nah, you count it as a franchise record. Screw it. You do it.
Somebody passes for the most touchdowns in a single season, but does it in the 17th game. Are we starting to do some asterisks, or is it kind of just, hey, that's how the game evolves? You know, back in when Teddy Roosevelt's football, there was like four passes in a season for touchdowns. And people were like, that's a new franchise record, or that's a single season record. And then, you know, obviously with the passing becoming the future of the sport and everything, obviously these records are getting broken all the time. So what do you think about that?
It's the way she goes, as they would say in Trailer Park Boys. Yeah, that's just how it is. They changed the rule, and that's the rule now. So the records abide by those rules.
Anything else on the Eagles side? Oh, how do you feel that, like, Miles Sanders, like, how do you think the running game will change losing Miles for at least, you know, a week based off of the three games we already saw he missed from earlier this year?
I don't think it will, but is Gainwell – I saw Gainwell went out too. Is there any update on him?
I think he's good. Jordan Howard's the only one that people are worried about. He had a stinger, which he had earlier in the season. That kept him out for at least a week.
Yeah, so if we have Howard, if he's healthy, if we have Scott and we have Gainwell, I think we'll be fine. But if it's just Scott and Gainwell, maybe you're concerned you don't have a guy like Howard. I'm not at all concerned about missing Miles. I never thought he was a special guy. I think the D-O-line and the Jalen Hurts pretty much create the opportunity for whoever the running back is. So I don't think that it'll be too big of an issue. I guess my last point on the Eagles is just about the whole clinching next week scenario, which kind of involves some other teams. But I would just like to say that if you've been listening to the Everything's Fine podcast or following me on Twitter, then you've had a pretty good idea of what's going to happen this entire Eagles season. And I know a lot of people are doing the whole, can you believe we're here now? Can you believe we're at 8-7? Can you
One guy
was laughed at. One guy was laughed at before the season about saying he was that this team was a playoff team. One guy was laughed at last week about putting up a scenario that if Minnesota were to lose their next two games, if New Orleans lost on Monday night, if we won our next two games, then we'd be in the playoffs. Well, Minnesota lost their first one. We won our first one. New Orleans lost their game. All we need now, and I put up the parlay last night. It was a four-leg parlay. Miami cashed the first one. Now at 1 o'clock on Sunday, we have the Eagles, who are a four-point favorite at Washington. At 4 o'clock, we have San Francisco going to Houston, and they're like a 14-15-point favorite. And then at 8:20, if the Eagles win and if San Francisco wins, then we are the biggest cheeseheads in the world because we will be rooting for the Packers on Sunday Night Football. Al Michaels, that asshole Chris Collinsworth, fuck the Vikings, fuck Kirk Cousins. You know, he thought he could avoid COVID by carrying around a little box. I guess he's done a pretty good job. Maybe he won't avoid it all week. Maybe we'll see it. Who's the Vikings backup quarterback? Fuck. It's the guy they drafted. Kellen Mond. I would love to see some Kellen Mond. Actually, maybe not. He might be better than Cousins. It would be really fun to go into Sunday night like full on Packers fans, rooting for us to clinch. Like, I think this next Sunday could be an all time fun Sunday for Eagles fans. But the thing I'm most nervous about is taking care of business against Washington. I know that they just lost 56-7, but I don't know.
Well, here's the thing, though. Now Ron Rivera is going to pay us back for tanking last year because they only have a 4% chance to make the playoffs. I think they won a draft position. So I think he said they're playing Taylor Heinicke, but they're going to play Kyle Allen. So are they going to play Kyle Allen this week or are they going to play Kyle Allen next week? Who knows? But I think we're looking at maybe a Sudfeld situation. Maybe a little, hey, guys, you scratch my back, I scratch yours, Ron Rivera style.
I will Kyle Allen bad. Heinicke is, I know he was not good. He's so much fun and he's scary. He's scary to go against. I don't want to have to deal with it.
Crazy enough, they were down like 42-7. Never thought they were out of it.
I definitely did.
No, man. The Heinicke was extending plays with his feet. He was chucking the ball down 42-7. It was awesome. Like I think Taylor Heinicke should only be allowed to play in games when they're down like three scores. He's just so much fun because I feel like Ron Rivera is just like, we just got to let the playbook unleash him, unleash the playbook. Let Heinicke just run, just go. That was wild. We'll get an NFC East roundup in a second.
Yeah, I feel like I've done a good job having a good eye, like a finger on the pulse of when this team's going to win and lose. And the only game I was really actually like, I think I ended up talking myself into the Eagles being the Niners, which they should have done, but they didn't. But the only game I was like concrete wrong on, I thought we were going to beat the Raiders. That was more so because of the Gruden stuff that was going on. I thought we were going to beat the Raiders. We ended up getting our teeth kicked in. That's really the one game I got wrong. I expected us to lose to the Giants the first game, if you remember that podcast. And I'm a little bit nervous that this Washington game kind of feels the same way. Things are too good for us right now. We're flying too high. It's the absolute opposite for the other side. It's despair and desperation for the other side. And, their fan base is completely
guys are pushing
up.
Each other on the sideline.
Exactly. I'm nervous. I am legitimately nervous. Also, if Ron Rivera wasn't a cancer survivor who people really liked that the media was in on, guys getting in a fist fight on the sideline would probably be like the first sign that someone was getting fired. But because it's the Washington football team and that culture is so bad and they have so much bad going on, that's like a blip on the radar. Like Daniel Snyder didn't even know it happened because he's got so many investigations concurrently looking into him currently. So I think that like if that happened in Carolina, like if two Carolina DNs started punching each other, like I think that'd be the start to Matt Rhule getting fired. Or I think it would at least be like the start to the conversation of him getting fired. But because it's Ron Rivera and because people like him and because he's against the survivor, I think he's probably safe.
Yeah. I mean, has anyone ever connected on a punch in the NFL? Like Jonathan Allen had a straight shot at De'Ron Payne. He missed by a mile.
Was it Andre Johnson against Cortland?
Andre Johnson. Yeah, he beat the piss out of Cortland Sutton. Took his helmet off.
No, not Sutton. What's his name? Cortland
Finnegan.
Finnegan. Yep.
Cortland Finnegan. Yeah. And everyone was like, yes, Andre Johnson just did so much for wide receivers.
Yeah.
everyone wanted to kill Cortland Finnegan. Yeah. I can't believe Jonathan Allen missed. Well, probably good for missed. We might have almost seen a guy legitimately get a concussion.
One of the guys, they went back to after halftime. I actually I don't know what I was doing, but I missed the first half of this game. I didn't watch the first half of this game. So I found out about the fight on my phone. Like I got texts, everyone was talking about it. And when you went back and they didn't talk about it, but I don't know if they were showing Allen or Payne's face. Like they were just standing there on the sideline before halftime, the second half started. And he had a bursted ear. Like it looked like he had blood all up in his ear. So someone connected something. There was a lot of blood in his ear.
Payne was going wild even after the punch. He was just sitting on the sideline, legitimately shaking, saying, still saying, I'm gonna fucking kill you. And these guys are teammates from Alabama.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Double teammates.
You're right, double teammates. All right. We gotta talk about the most important thing that happened in the Eagles game. And it wasn't even on the Eagles side. It was on the Giants side. And we had a 6'7" centaur chasing passing supremacy for the 2013 NFL draft. I've been the only one invested in the arms race from the 2001 or 2013 NFL draft. Everyone, you saw 93 yards. You saw 17 for 27. You saw a pick six. I see all-time leader in passing yards from the 2013 draft. Congratulations to you, Mike Glennon, overtaking Geno Smith. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers drafted the best quarterback in the 2013 NFL draft. Poor Jets. Poor Jets. That's all they had going for them.
So I've got a question for you as the guy on the Mike Glennon corner. Is Mike Glennon upset or at all nervous about Nevada putting out a quarterback in their bowl game yesterday who's 6'9"?
No, Carson Strong.
Yeah, exactly right. When I read that tweet, I actually didn't watch the game, so I need to watch the highlights to see how tall this fucker is. But this dude was 6'9" playing quarterback.
Yeah.
That's got to be tallest of all time.
See, Glennon doesn't look 6'7", though, on the field. Maybe because he's surrounded by other dudes who are 6'6", 6'5", on the O-line. But the Nevada O-line isn't going, 6'5", 6'5", 6'5", across the board. That 6'9 quarterback from Nevada looked like he just learned that his legs worked. It was sad. It was really sad. They, in the beginning of the season this year or last year, I forget what it was, but they ran a fade with him. They ran a fade route with him in the end zone.
Like him playing receiver?
Him playing receiver. Went up against this 5'10 DB. This DB eviscerated him. It was so ugly. This guy, 6'9". We had a 6'6 quarterback in high school. And it's just weird. It's just weird to see.
When you're not
a D1 prospect, and I'm not so sure how much of a D1 prospect this Cox guy is, but when you're a tall quarterback and you're just not necessarily good, it's just really weird to watch. It's just your mechanics are just so gross, and they stick out when you're taller because you're just a newborn giraffe.
The Chamonix High School is a very good. Actually, I don't think they've been very good since I graduated. I don't know the math on that.
What's their mascot's name?
Oh, redacted.
Okay.
I actually don't know if they've been very good since they fired the guy that was there when I was there. But Neshamni was very good the whole time I was there and leading into the time I was there. When I was there, they were playing a quarterback pretty much the whole time I was there, starting in my sophomore year, who was the weird kid in my grade. His name was Tyler Wambo. If you're listening to this, shout out to you, Tyler Wambo.
Shout out to being weird, Tyler.
Yeah, he was a weird guy. He had a really – I'm not going to say what I was going to say. But he was 5'9". He was 5'9", not very fast either. And just we had a game manager quarterback in high school, and he was not good. I remember our backup, we put him in one time. He was even worse. We had a good amount of people who ended up playing football continuing to play football in college. Luke Carrizzoli played tight end and D end at UConn. They had other guys out there. And they were a damn good team. And I think that they're even like the younger generation from us at that time was like very good. The grades below us, they went to every, you know, they went to state championships and usually got like busted out by North Penn. But we had this amazing, we were like the, I'm trying to think of like a team. We were like the Steelers or like the Browns. Okay. Like we had all this, we had this incredible roster and we had this quarterback who's threw like 5 yard outs. That's pretty much
I think you're the Cardinals.
Do. No,
just like an awesome roster of like Nuke and AJ Green.
No, but Kyler's good.
Kyler's still out.
Kyler's good. I'm not like a Kyler guy. Like, I mean, Kyler's good. Like,
both couldn't see over their offensive lineman, I'm sure.
I'm thinking it's more of a Baker situation.
What kind of offense did you guys run? Like a complete option offense? Like, there's no way this kid's passing, you know, throwing bombs or anything.
Oh, it wasn't an option offense. It was a turn around and hand the fucking ball to DeAndre Pollard offense. They had a guy named DeAndre Pollard. I think he got – I don't know if I want to say this on air. I think he got his Villanova scholarship taken away from him. For
got to run in with the law?
Not the law. I guess the law. A scandal involving, like, a social media app at Neshaminy High School and pictures changing hands, I think is how I'll word that.
Wow. You hate to see social media – ruin a kid's dream, unless it was nice. His fault. Then it's like
A nice little check-in to Neshaminy High School football. But Mike Glennon doesn't look like a 6'7 guy because he's a 6'3 guy with a really long neck. That's why it is.
That is true. I never thought about that. You know how people have like huge heads? Yeah. Like if you have like a 10-inch head, it's like tall hair. It's like that's a lot of like that. I'd rather have like 10 inches like throughout, you know, the body, through the torso, through the legs a little bit, then I have like a 6-inch neck and another 4 to 5 inches on my my dome. Yeah. Mills Mafia, Davis Mills. He's the next long neck.
Okay, this is where I'm stopping you.
Okay.
I'm fine with Mike Glennon being reduced to being just a neck, because that's all the guy is. The guy's a
play
neck.
Fucking neck.
Yeah, play fucking neck. That guy is just a living, walking embodiment of a neck. Davis Mills is more than just a long neck. That guy's pretty good. Two wins in a row for the Texans.
He's a dime dropper.
Is Davis Mills the guy in Houston?
David Culley's got him playing. Is David Culley the guy?
No.
I don't even know what David Culley is. Is he an offensive guy? Is he an offensive genius or a defensive genius?
I think he was a receivers coach.
Okay. The rookie of the year coach is a former receivers coach, so maybe they should give David Culley some more time.
Before we move on, because it's the Texans, am I crazy for saying they don't need to draft a quarterback?
I don't think you are, and I think you're kind of on. I think you're kind of whispering, like a lot of people are whispering, that maybe Davis Mills deserves 2022.
Maybe all I'm saying.
I mean, they can always draft a quarterback. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, just have him sit behind Davis Mills. Let him learn from Davis Mills.
You could learn a lot from Davis Mills.
Let Kenny Pickett learn from Davis Mills.
Stanford man.
Let Malik Willis learn from Davis Mills.
Also, I'm pretty sure he was like the number one high school recruit to Stanford.
Really?
I think so. Unless I'm getting Stanford's current quarterback mixed up with Davis Mills. I'm pretty sure Davis Mills was like an absurd. I remember hearing this on a podcast. Davis Mills was like an absurdly high recruit going to Stanford. And he was, I think like before he played in college, I think people were looking at him as like a first round pick.
Very hard to get into Stanford. Very hard.
Facts.
NFC East roundup. I mean, Dallas 56, Washington football team 14. I know we touched on this a little bit.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott had TDs to a wide receiver, tight end, running back, and offensive lineman in the game. That's the only other player to do that is Kurt Warner in his shiny silver jacket.
5 Fat Man touchdowns yesterday.
I know. There were so many Fat Man touchdowns. That XXL tutty to Lane, and then he leaps into the first row. The Lane leaps. Oh,
what an athlete.
More of them. I need more of them. Did he know that guy? I was wondering that. That guy seemed really jazzed to see him. I mean, I would be jazzed too if this behemoth was running after me. But he like kind of tosses the ball to the guy in the front row. I thought it was Trout, but it didn't look like it was Trout. But the way the guy in the stands, he just had his arms like out, ready to like bear hug Lane. It felt like that was choreographed. Like Lane knew East Texas was maybe going to be a call this week.
Hot seat, Mike Trout. I feel like I haven't seen him in a while.
He was at the game on Tuesday.
I was there too. So I guess he was probably on TV and I didn't see it. Yeah.
They don't flash him as much anymore.
Is he not? It's a hot seat now. Baseball. Is Mike Trout not a big deal anymore?
He's not the face of the game. I'll tell you that.
He's not the face baseball, of his team.
Baseball has a marketing problem. He is not the face of his team.
That's probably the problem.
They should trade him to Philadelphia. Let him come home.
I see what she did there.
Mm-hmm. Also, just a aside here, Cam Reddish, if you ever want to come home, we'll welcome you with open arms. I know he's on the trading block. Norristown product. Like, come home, buddy. Come home.
You know Austin Carell taught Cam Reddish how to shoot, right?
I did see that picture. I'm not surprised their careers went in different.
Hey, Austin Krell's dropping Krell bombs on this fine program.
Before. Oh, I'm fine. He's doing what he should be doing. He should not be playing against the Chicago Bulls and Zach LaVine and in the NBA. I'll tell you that. He's doing perfectly what he should be doing.
Austin Krell. We're definitely going to have to clip this out and at Austin Krell in it, but Austin Krell definitely looks like, I'm not saying he looks like Drew Hanlon, but I feel like I could see him as Drew Hanlon, like being a shot doctor guy. Like I could see that.
Yeah. If he ever wants to get out of the beat, Cam Reddish should be first client. You get one, you get them all.
Cam, you know Cam Reddish. Every once in a while when Cam Reddish gets in a slump, like when he just can't get his form right, he's in practice, and it's like he just thinks back to the Norristown days, and he's like, what did Austin Krell tell me? Like,
yeah, he looks back to that school picture photo of Austin doing the yeah. doing the fake jumper. I mean, Drew Hanlon's nowhere without Bradley Beal.
No.
Him and Bradley Beal were boys, and now look at him. Now he's coaching up at MVP candidates like Joel Embiid. So, no, I mean – yeah, Cam Reddish. Whew. I heard he was on the trading block a couple weeks ago. I was like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Take a first-round pick. I like Cam Reddish a lot. I've watched two games. I watched the Christmas Day game, and I watched the Bulls game yesterday. That's all I need. Bring him home.
The thing about Cam Reddish is the talent has never been in question. Like, the talent with Cam Reddish has never been in question. It's just putting it together, and he has these games where it's like, wow, this guy was in fact a top 3 to 5 recruit coming out of high school and went to Duke, and people were like just as excited as they were about RJ Barrett and Zion that he went there. So, I think there was, I don't know if it was the playoffs last year or if it was down the stretch. For a long time, he didn't do anything or he barely got minutes.
He didn't play in the playoffs.
Yeah, he didn't. So he didn't play in the playoffs. It must have been the regular season last year. I remember he like hadn't played for a while, and then he came in. And he had like 15 points in 15 minutes, and Twitter exploded. Twitter was like, oh my God, I didn't know Cam Reddish was like this. I didn't know Cam Reddish was a bucket. And I was like, if you didn't know Cam Reddish was this, then like, what did you think he was? This is all he is. He's a walking bucket. And sometimes he doesn't score, sure. But if you don't know that Cam Reddish has this in him, I don't know what to say. The guy's a supreme talent. An insane basketball talent. Kind of an idiot. Not really like a good defender or anything. But if he can like get his offensive game to be consistent, hell yeah, I'm in.
Very used to being the third option. How mad were you that everyone was ball washing Kemba on Christmas?
That was so annoying. He had like such an average game.
10 points.
He has been good. Like he has been really good, but I didn't see any of these reactions in the other games that he's been. I guess it's Christmas. It's the only game people watch, but he had like a 30-point game right before it. And he had a good game right after it. But it's like, he had 10, 12, and 10. Like, Markel Fultz.
40 minutes.
Yeah, Markel Fultz did it. And we poured chocolate milk on him.
No, it was just really funny. Everyone was like, oh, you know, Kemba's awesome. It's so good to see Kemba come back. It's so good to see him. You know, he took his demotion and he came back and he had a triple double. And they're like, triple double, triple double, triple double. And then you look at the stat lines, like, well, 10, 12, and 10. And it's like, and then here comes Mark Henry over the top rope and being like, what's all this ball washing of Kemba Walker? It just made me laugh out loud when I saw it.
I like Kemba. Like I actually said when Boston traded Kemba to OKC, I was like, that feels like giving up on it. Like I was even saying, like, I don't think Kemba's just like an empty salary now. Like I still think he could play. And I think it's smart. New York should. The fact that he left the rotation is insane. The fact that he left the rotation is because they have six guards. I've been complaining about this since they drafted Grimes and I'm forgetting. McBride. They have Quickley. They brought in Derrick Rose. They signed Evan Fournier. They have Kemba. The problem clearly is that they just have too many of these guys and not enough wings and fours. Like, they have way too many guards on the roster. So that's why Kemba wasn't playing. But it's insane.
It's because of Tibbs and Derrick Rose. Did you know Tibbs was Derrick Rose's best man?
No, I didn't know that.
That is wild.
I would have guessed Joakim.
Like, the fact that your head coach was your best man of your wedding and just two guys from like different walks of life and as crazy as Tibbs is like, he's just like what was that best man speech? Like,
ice.
Like that laugh, that Tibbs laugh of that clip of him laughing. I think I forget where it was. I think he was the Bulls coach still, but it was hilarious because you're not used to him like ever showing emotion.
If you ever watch Tibbs on a sideline, he just says ice and pressure like 7,000 times.
Oh, the mic was having a field day on Christmas. Either the refs were too close to him too much because it was just the mic was getting picked up by him because his voice is just booming. You know, run.
it's crazy. Can we get
Tibbs mic'd up? Like, oh my God. I would love that shit, man. And this is going back to the beginning of the podcast, a little callback action for everybody. But it's crazy to see like how smart these guys are. Cause like, let's be honest, like athletes don't always get the best hand when it comes to being smart, you know, sometimes their own fault, but sometimes, you know, it's just very unfair. But the fact that they have to learn this playbook, they have to learn these plays, they have to make split decisions at a drop of a hat, like, literally hearing like Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, you know, discussing schemes and reads and all that. And then hearing Jalen, like in his press conference, like talk about why he didn't go to Dallas Goedert and why it was a breakdown in coverage. It's just really, really cool to hear that. I think even like me as a casual fan, not an analyst guy, I'm a see the ball, hit the ball, see the game, discuss the game kind of guy. I think, dude, having these guys mic'd up more or like bringing you into the huddle would be amazing.
Yeah, I think I would love to get these coaches mic'd up and go in the huddle to see Doc Rivers not drawing up plays. Yeah. So we could see during timeouts instead of actually coaching, he's just talking to the refs.
He's just yelling at the refs, yeah. And like Yoger or Sam Cassell's like trying to like bring him back. Like, hey, Doc, you know, you just used 15 seconds of your 30-second timeout. So can we just draw up a play? He's like, oh, yeah, just get it into Joel and he'll take a 35-footer for hopefully a game winner.
Yeah, it's nice for Doc that he just has now he doesn't have Yeager anymore because Yeager has the health issue, but he has Sam Cassell to run the offense and Dan Burke to run the defense, and Doc Rivers gets to what exactly?
He needs a double review.
Yeah. I am serious, and they had a normal win. I don't know how we got into the Sixers, but they had a normal win the other night. The Sixers against the Wizards. I think that was Sunday. Normal win where they were just like 1-20, kept the lead the whole time. Joel was trolling people, which was funny. That was like the only relevant part of the game. I still just like struggle to watch them because of Tobias Harris and Doc Rivers. Like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to be like fully all in on this team ever again if Tobias Harris and Doc Rivers are both involved. And they will be.
If you're so tough, stand on that Joel Embiid. Did you see that Montrezl Harrell quote?
Oh, fuck him. Yeah, yeah.
After he went right after Montrez after he fouled him the first time
and got
a first tech on him. And then he gets a second tech on him because he obviously trolls him and Montrez isn't, you know, doesn't have the ability to cool himself off. Like, that's exactly how you should play it in that situation. If you can get, you know, their best big man out of the game, you're already up 20. Don't get me wrong, the game was over at that point. But like, if you can get their best big man out of the game, like, why are people still falling for this? Like 8 years, 9 years into Joel Embiid's career.
Well, Montrez said to stand on your toughness. Montrez should stand on some fucking phone books because he's about 6 inches shorter than Embiid or 5 inches shorter than Embiid. That's why he's getting all upset because Embiid's ragdolling him out.
Embiid had like his hands around his neck. He's like, "Won't you stand on your toughest boy?" He's like, he choked you out almost.
Yeah, it's not
a sleeper hold.
It started because Trez got upset that Embiid like got in there and just like backed him down pretty aggressively. And then that started like the whole thing. It's like, yeah, dude, it's a mismatch. Like, I'm sorry that if you want to play center in the league, you're going to have to cover Joel Embiid and Jokic, and they're going to do that to you because you're a tiny bitch boy, Montrezl Harrell.
Look at this. Like, stand on your toughness. It's like, this dude's like literally holding you back. You look like the kid's son. Shout out to Tyler Johnson getting involved. Only a week in, he's already ingratiating himself into the Sixers, trying to get that second 10-day. I love that.
I'm in hard, by the way.
With Tyler Johnson, is because you grew up in the Northeast?
No, I didn't really grow up in the Northeast. But Tyler Johnson, he's so ugly.
He looks like every cousin you have?
Yeah, no, he doesn't. I am, if anything, I am like the Tyler Johnson of my family. But wow, if you type in Tyler Johnson's stats, you get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver, Tyler Johnson.
Oh, that's bad for the brand.
That's not good. Tyler Johnson's been in the NBA a really long time.
So Tyler Johnson has had a better career, I think, than Tyler Johnson on the Bucs.
Oh, for sure. Tyler Johnson's shooting 50% here. I guess it's two games. But 43% from the field, 50% from three. Tyler Johnson, what's his per 36s looking like? What we got going on here, Tyler?
I forget who had this joke, but it was hilarious. There are going to be so many future Bachelor contestants that are going to be NBA athletes because everybody's getting a 10-day contract because of the COVID protocols right now. Like, there's going to be so many different reality TV shows where it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, I played had a cup of coffee with the Lakers. You know, remember remember the Omicron was running wild, you know, back in January of 2021.
Also,
December of 2021.
A quick check-in on a Ben Simmons target, Jaylen Brown. The Celtics lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves last night, who were missing all five of their starters. All five of their starters they were missing, and the Celtics lost that game. Al Horford after the game says we really have to grow up and figure out who we are and look in. I forget exactly the wording, but grow up and look in the mirror and figure out who we are. And they asked Jaylen Brown. He said, "Grow up and look in the mirror. No, get him out. He's done. Get him out of Boston. Send him to Philadelphia." When asked if he's searching, searching.
Finally, Al Horford repays us our debt.
Hell yeah.
That would be great if it's Al Horford who was like the catalyst to this whole thing. It's like they go into the locker room, like, what do you mean we gotta look in the mirror? Why don't you look in the mirror? You're probably averaging what? I don't even know what Al Horford's averaging. I know he didn't play against us, so I really haven't been paying attention to sue me for not paying attention to Al Horford's end of his career.
I probably have to put together my Mount Rushmore of most hated athletes of all time, but I know that the first three names on it are, well, I guess it depends if we're keeping it a Philadelphia list or a non-Philadelphia list.
Drew Henson.
No, Drew Henson's not on there.
I hated Drew Henson. Hated Quincy Carter.
I absolutely hate Sam Bradford. I've said that many times. I absolutely hate Al Horford. And I absolutely hate Philip Rivers. Those are the first three names that come to my mind.
All right, so you got your first three Philly athletes. Let's do Philly athletes. Mine, Andrew Bynum. I went to the Constitution Center.
Wow.
When they introduced him, because I was like, show your love. I met him. He was a dick.
Jason Richardson met him at Six Flags. He said no to take a picture with me.
Yeah, Jason Richardson was really, really nice. He was there, but he was an afterthought. Nobody cared about him. He was really nicely dressed.
Former slam dunk champion.
Yeah, three-piece suit, Andrew Bynum t-shirt, and like very, very bad jeans. Very bad, early 2010 jeans.
I have this vivid memory of Andrew Bynum. I was on the bus home from school. It must have been halfway through the year that he was sitting out. But there at the point that we were sitting there, it still seemed like he was going to come back and play basketball. I think we were like a couple games under 500. We were like somewhere around the 8 seed. And I was like, well, you know what? Bynum's coming back. Like, I was talking to my friend, like, Bynum's coming back. He's basically the best center in the world. Like, we're the 8 seed now. He's going to come back. We're going to be the 4 seed. Like, things are going to be fine. Like, we're going to be killing it when Bynum comes back. And then he never did.
Danny Watkins.
Yeah, I hate Danny Watkins.
Reggie Brown is on there for me. I thought Reggie Brown was going to be amazing. I really thought like Reggie Brown was going to be what Julio, AJ Green was going to be.
I love Reggie Brown.
This awesome receiver from Georgia.
I met Reggie Brown at an AT&T. There was like a signing.
Yeah. I used to, after he like didn't live up to his his expectation. I used to go back and watch that hit he had in college where he got like smacked over the middle because I was just so angry at him. It was really, really weird teenage angst for me. I'm trying to think. Any Phillies that I hate? Probably not. I'm trying to think of another Sixer. Jason Capono.
Oh, I didn't even think of this. I probably have to put Boban on there.
Wow.
Mainly because it was so annoying. Just like
Greg Monroe's up there.
Yeah, but no one cared about Greg Monroe. Like people, Boban and Greg Monroe were equally as bad as each other. Like
they didn't even make one competent player.
Yeah, they were equally incompetent and not able to be the backup center. And people forget the reason we lost to the Raptors is because Joel Embiid was like a plus 90 in the minutes he played, and we were minus 92 in like the 12 minutes he didn't play in that series. Like absurd shit. The threesome of Amir Johnson, Greg Monroe, and Boban Marjanovic was definitely not good enough. But I hated Boban and Dwight are probably both up there for doing Philly athletes because of how much the fan base stupidly thought they were like fun and great. And it's like, oh, Boban's a giant and he's friends with Tobias. And oh, Dwight Howard, he likes Frosties. Like I hated it so much.
That is funny how like as long as you like ingratiate yourself to the Sixers and you're like moderately funny and you just latch onto one bit, the Sixers fans will be like, oh, you can't kill him. He had that one good game. That one good game. Like, well, we're trying to win championships, Dwight. We're not trying to drink and eat Frosties and French fries all the time and go on Instagram Live and just watch you bench press and everything. Trying to win some championships. Evan Turner was up there, but also I kind of love when he was on the hot mic with the motherfucker.
I was a DeMarcus Cousins guy in college. So when we got the second pick, I was shouting from every rooftop possible that we need to draft DeMarcus Cousins and not this bum Evan Turner.
Isaiah Cannon. I didn't like him.
I liked Isaiah Cannon. I had a soft spot for Isaiah.
Yeah.
We'll have to put together an official list at some point. Yeah.
You have anything else you want to talk about? We're up to a minute of an hour eight.
Nah, we're good. People got enough content.
People got enough from us. Sorry we're late again. But we really wanted to watch the Dolphins Saints game. We probably could have just came on here Monday and been like, the Dolphins win.
Yeah, we could have filmed two different reactions.
So that's the podcast. Rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, subscribe to us on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, you made it this far, hit like on the video. Really helps with the algorithm getting it up. I should start saying this in the beginning as well. All right, we'll be back to you. I guess we come back tomorrow. I don't know. It's ever flowing. Nobody works during this week, so we'll decide. All right, talk to you then.